you're welcome. Many times do, but I want to express my appreciation for your desire to be with us today at a time of not only friendship and fellowship, but a time of worship. Appreciate that very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along. I present the lesson, and I know we'll get through it in time. I know you're probably already thinking 7 points, but trust me, I'll be gracious. And if I don't finish today, I can always finish it next Lord's Day, Lord willing. The title of the lesson is Amazing Grace. And even as the song said, how sweet the sound. It saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing, amazing grace. Those people that you may know, some family or friends or neighbors that are not familiar with grace, they're not familiar with religion or faith or Christianity, they might ask, and they might even ask you, what's so amazing about grace? What is there about it that you find attractive or inviting? By definition, the word grace, it means that we receive God's favor without any merit on our part, meaning we didn't earn it. I can't say to God and say, God, you know, I've done all of these things for so many years, you owe me. Can't do that. Nothing that we have done obligates God to give us grace. No matter how many good works we do, or how benevolent we are, or how many community plaques we have on our walls, it does not obligate God to be gracious to us. No one has forced God to give us grace. There was no one up there in heaven that pushed Jesus out and sent him to the earth to be our Savior. The idea of grace did not originate with man. It's not our idea. But rather, God saw us, his creation, and saw that we could not provide something for ourselves, meaning forgiveness of sins. We could not come up with a plan by ourselves that was acceptable to God to have our sins forgiven. So God was very gracious. He favored us, giving us an opportunity for eternal life that we could not provide ourselves. So we refer to it as amazing grace. It's amazing. Amazing grace. In the Bible story of God's grace has influenced many of our hymn writers, and even some of the songs that we sang this morning reflected that. But I listed 7 things. You may find more than these 7, but I hope it gets you started thinking along these lines. God's grace is amazing because, number one, I put it, involves the best, dying for the worst. Number two, God's grace is amazing because it required that the highest become the lowest. Grace from God is amazing, number three, because it required the richest to become the poorest. The amazing grace of God is shown in that, number four, it gives us what we need rather than what we deserve. Number five, God's grace is amazing because it involved paying a debt that he did not owe for those of us who could not pay the debt that we owe. Number six, God's grace is amazing because it cost God, but it's offered freely to you and me. And then number seven is the song we sang this morning. God's grace is amazing because it's greater than all our sin, meaning it overcomes our sin. So let's take a look at each of these in turn. You have your notes, so I'll kind of just go through them necessarily rapidly, but I'll just simply call your attention to the notes and look, review them with you. Number one, God's grace is amazing because it involves the best dying for the worst. The best that died is reference to Jesus. No one ever measured up to his life. You and I will die, but our death will never accomplish what Jesus did. That's what makes his death distinguished, unique, different from everyone else's death, anyone who's ever lived that died. Jesus' death sets him apart, and that's amazing. Amazing. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. I can't say that about me. We can't say that about any other person who's ever lived. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned, but not Jesus. But everybody else has. Everyone else has fallen short of God's glory, but not Jesus. The best has died for the worst. That's amazing. He died. Like I said, no other person's death could accomplish what his did. For the worst. That's all humanity. That's every person. That's mankind. In Romans 5, verse 8, it's interesting the way the Bible describes us. And the word is in the text that was read to us this morning. God commended his own love toward us. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For sinners. The best dies for the worst, for sinners. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 13, Paul refers to himself, the Apostle Paul, says, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. And in the next phrase, Paul says, but I obtained mercy. Amazing grace. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul continues, don't be deceived. Neither the fornicators, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then the next phrase is to Paul's audience, the Apostle Paul says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Amazing. God commended his love toward us. And while we were some or all of these things, Christ died for us. For the revelers, for the extortioners, he dies for the unrighteous, dies for the sinners, the blasphemers, the injurious. Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing. When I look at some of those people that Jesus died for, I'm thinking I wouldn't cross the street to help them. Well, God help me if they need help, because I will. Amazing grace. I'm amazed by God's grace when I consider the best dying for the worst. Number two, it required that the highest become the lowest. Philippians 2, verse 5, who being in the form of God, now here's the description of Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he took upon him the form of a servant. There's your opposite. Equal with God. I'm taking on the form of a servant, he said. Being made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amazing, isn't it? Equal with God. It says, I'll fashion myself as mankind. Because mankind cannot save themselves. And mankind can't formulate a plan for forgiveness. Mankind kind and he's a savior. And Jesus says, I'll do that. Amazing grace. Amazing. Number three, it required the richest to become the poorest. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, here's the opposite, he was rich, verse 10, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And you look at the life of Jesus, he even said to his disciples, you know, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Yeah. He came like us, and he wasn't a rich man on heaven. No, he took of the poverty of earth. To live that life that we can't live, but he lived it for us. Amazing grace. The richest became the poorest. Number four. He gives us what we need rather than what we deserve. Oh my, when I think about that description of the worst, remember all those words, the unrighteous, the sinners, the revilers, they started, I'm thinking, oh, but don't give me what I deserve. You know, I don't measure up, remember that? No, he did no sin, but I'm guilty as charged. You know, I'm throwing my hands up and begging mercy. Don't give me justice. I want mercy. Mercy. Jesus did that. It's amazing grace. In Romans 3, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Well, that's what I've done. I've sinned. I deserve to die. Then he says, but the gift of God is eternal life. See those opposite words? Death. Life. Through Jesus Christ. It's appointed to the man wants to die. I can't escape that. But then in Romans 5, verse 21, it says, as sin has reigned unto death, yes, sin causes me to die. Can't get out of that. Yet even so, my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life. But where does eternal life come from? Through or by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amazing. Amazing. That's what Jesus could accomplish by coming to earth. Amazing. Because of his grace, physical death doesn't keep us. I don't have to die again, meaning second death or eternal death. He gives us eternal life, not eternal death. Amazing grace. Me, a sinner, unrighteous. Number five, it involved God paying a debt he did not owe for those who could not pay. So you just put in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, when Paul reflects on this amazing grace of God, he says, thank you. We say the same thing, even in many of our songs. Thank you, Lord. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We try to put it into words. The Bible puts it into words. But we like to add more words to emphasize it and give it greater meaning and persuasion. Thank you. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of ourselves. I can't pay the debt I owe. Not of works, lest any man can boast. And again, the songs we sing reflect this message. And what's on our book, number 902? What can wash away my sin? The songwriter captured this thought. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing another song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope. My faith. It's not built upon my talents. I'm not standing on my good, on my works, or my accomplishments. No. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We sing the song, song, Rock of Ages, referring to Jesus being the Rock of the Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. See? He's a shelter in the storm, that cleft in the rock. See? He's that place of safety when the storms rage. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Another stanza in that song says, could my tears forever flow? If I could just cry because of my sins. If my zeal no languor know. If I could just work and work and work my fingers to the bone for my sins. The song says, if I could my tears forever flow, my zeal no languor know. The song continues, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. The other song, the other stanza of that song, Rock of Ages, says, in my hand, no price I bring. I can't pay for my debt. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. It's amazing grace. I'm guilty as charged. I can't pay my debt. Paul says at the end of Romans, 1 Corinthians 15, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And the very last verse, thanks be to God. Thank you. Because the plight and the situation I'm in is not forgiven. I need you. And that's the foundation on which I stand. That's the bedrock of our faith, the amazing grace of God providing something for us that we cannot provide for ourselves. Amazing grace. Thank you, God, that you're not giving me what I deserve. Thank you. Number six, I need to hurry. I've got some more things. If I don't get everything today, I'll catch you next week. Number six, it costs God, but it's offered freely to us. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely. In other words, I can't earn it. Can't pay the debt. But I'm justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Romans 3, 24. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Cost the Father a Son. But He was under no obligation to give us grace. God so loved the world, He gave. He gave. But a response is required. I can't just go, thank you, God, and go my merry way. Can't do that. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? Good questions. Very logical questions. Paul said to the Roman brethren, call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. But how can you call upon Him in whom you've not believed? And how can you believe in Him whom you've not heard? So we know salvation is linked with hearing and believing. You need to hear a salvation message, and you need to believe it. Jesus Himself said in John 8, verse 24, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, except you believe that I am He. You'll die in your sins. We need to believe. Jesus Himself also said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all in likewise perish. So now we have repentance. So there you see a progression here. Salvation is tied with hearing the good news message and believing it, and Jesus adds repentance to it. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, they have the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. He's preaching up the Ethiopian Jesus, and the Bible says they went on their way, they came to a certain water. The Ethiopian says, see, here's water. What hinders or stops me or prevents me from being baptized? Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the Ethiopian said, well, I believe that Jesus could believe the message and then being baptized. Amazing grace, because I didn't think of that. I probably would have come up with a totally different plan. God, how about us doing nothing? Can't I just go my merry way? Can I just do my own thing? Can I just regard you in my heart? Wouldn't that be enough? How about just being benevolent and giving, and I'll make lots of money and open up hospitals, and I'll just be the best guy. I will be Mr. Chamber of Commerce. No. You have to do it this way. All other ways fail. Number 7, God's grace is amazing because it's greater than all. Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, law entered that the offenses might abound. How do you know you've done something wrong unless there was a law saying so? Oh, I didn't know that was wrong. Oh, look, let's open the book. Here's what the law says. Oh. You ever hear the phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse? That's right. Oh, I didn't know that. That's right. So the word has to be preached. So now you know. And so where the law entered, the offense abounds. Now you know. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace is greater than our sin. People say, can God forgive me? Well, grace is greater than your sin. Oh, I did something horrible. Oh, but God's grace is greater. But I did it for such a long time. Oh, but God's grace is greater. That's amazing, isn't it? We have 3 strikes and you're out. God's grace is greater than that. Grace. Amazing. There's no one that's too bad, too horrible, that has committed sins too long. But what God's grace can forgive and save. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. If you're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament Church, you've never experienced God's amazing grace. By that I mean, have you done what His grace requires of us? Have you responded to it in God's way? Through that plan, that formula, that recipe. If your desire to be baptized this morning, we can accomplish that. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement or someone to study with you, we can accomplish that. Whatever your desire is, we're just extending this invitation while we're singing this song. You can come anytime, but why not now? Why not while brethren are here to receive?